Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
Talking.Golf is presented by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2024 AmFam Championship will be played June 7th through the 9th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Tournament host Steve Stricker will be your defending champion. Look for details in the coming months about the Friday Night Concert Series, the Celebrity Foursome, and more. Those details will be shared at amfamchampionship.com, which is also where you can purchase tickets for the 2024 AmFam Championship in its final year at University Ridge before moving in 2025 to the TPC Wisconsin. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. With Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, if we sound a little tired, if we sound a little bit maybe not at 110% like we normally do here for Talking.Golf, Gary just got back from Los Angeles and a couple days at the U.S. Open. And between the two of us, we just got done with about a 12-day stretch of tournament golf coverage. And, man, Gary, I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit winded. I hate to have my age showing.
Yeah, I hope to get a second one this week, Rob, because we still have a lot of stuff to do in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Before the U.S. Senior Open coming up at the end of the month. But let's start first with the AmFam Championship, our sponsor here of Talking.Golf, and what an AmFam Championship it was. You got the good weather end of it. You leave town, Gary, and the weather goes to pot. And but it was good enough for Steve Stricker to get the job done. I think you and I have both been wondering if and when Steve would ever win his own tournament, and he finally got the job done this year. Your thoughts on Steve Stricker joining Jerry Kelly as Wisconsin-born AmFam champions?
Well, first of all, I'm sad that I had to leave town on Sunday. I had to fly out to Los Angeles for a number of reasons, but that I missed the final round because I was I sure missed Steve winning, and your game story was great, Rob. You covered all the emotion and the aspects of his victory, but you know, it certainly didn't come as a surprise the way he's been playing the last, you know, well, really going back to the middle of last year. He's been on an unbelievable roll. And I think we all knew it was a matter of time before he win his own tournament. And this was the year. And boy, he's the man to beat now at the Senior Open, I think, Rob, don't you?
I can't think, you know, Patrick Harrington, I'm assuming he'll be in the field, would be one that would probably challenge. However, I think a lot of what Patrick Harrington brings to the table at the Senior Open, Gary, might be minimized if that rough that we've heard so much about up at Century World remains thick, lush, and tall, because you've got to make sure you stay out of that stuff. And that could be the neutralizer for Harrington. I'll tell you what, Steve Stricker has been fairways and greens, and I'm sure those percentages have been as high as they've ever been in his career lately. And he just is in total control of his swing. He's in total control of his emotions, and he's in great physical shape. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I mean, the whole package is there, and you continue to find people as you were, you know, talking to other PGA Tour champions players at the AmFam who are marveling at what he's doing, and these are guys who have known him a long time, like Tom Lehman.
Yeah, Tom. Tom thinks he might be playing the best golf of his career, and it's hard to argue with that. Of course, you have to separate, you know, the PGA Tour from the Champions Tour. Different golf courses, tougher courses, obviously on the PGA Tour. It's really hard to compare. But what you can compare is the eyeball test, watching how he goes about playing, managing a golf course, as you said, managing these emotions. And, you know, when he gets a wedge in his hands, he's as good as he ever was, because those 100-yard shots are the same on the PGA Tour as they are on the Champions Tour. And he's knocking the flag down, you know, from inside 125 yards. And then his putter is maybe not as great as it was when he was at his very best, but if it's below that, it's a tick below it. So you put it all together, and it's no wonder he's doing what he's doing.
How much do you think, Gary, that being able to focus on the PGA Tour champions, at least to this point, has helped him kind of zero in? He's seen the same faces in the same environments every week as opposed to jumping back and forth between tours.
That's a really good point. And he's playing a lot. And, you know, Mario Tiziani, his brother-in-law and agent, brought that fact up. And when we talked to him at the AM family, he said, now everybody's seeing what Steve can do when he plays a lot because, you know, he was took time off in stretches. And as you said, he bounced back between two tours and he was worried for a couple of years about concentrating, I should say, on the Ryder Cup captaincy. And now he's just focusing on his own game and playing with his peers. And boy, it's been something else.
We talked to Jerry Kelly throughout the week, but again, asked him, we seemed like we asked a lot of people about Steve Stricker throughout the weekend. I wanted to share with you, Gary, just something he said on Sunday that kind of, I wasn't quite sure how to interpret it. I asked him if he's seen anything in Steve Stricker lately that he hasn't seen early in his career. And let me just read what he had to say. I see after his health scare him a lot happier about, I hope all this success doesn't put pressure back on him again because he started to play free and really enjoy it more, loving the moment. I know it got old for him back in the day, but when you contemplate life, much less your golf career, it puts a different perspective on things. And I think we go back to the point where Steve, throughout his career, played a lot less golf than a lot of guys that came up in his era, the grinders, the week-in, week-out guys. Steve's always been a family man. He tried not to miss a lot of what Bobby and Izzy were doing early in their lives, and the family enjoyed its opportunities to go kick back in northern Wisconsin at their cabin up north. You know, he's owned different properties throughout Wisconsin for hunting and leisure. What do you think about what Jerry had to say about post illness, first of all, and just in general, you know, finding that balance between his job, which is golfing on the PGA Tour champions, and his family? It really seems like at least the last couple of years, he's kind of mastered that more than he's ever mastered it in his career.
I think so. I think he would probably tell you he's just busy as he's ever been, but a lot of that busyness involves his own family, you know, mentoring and watching his daughters play, Bobby on the Epson Tour now, and Izzy still in high school, but off to a great start on what could be a promising, you know, career for her. And, you know, Nikki plays, his wife, his brother-in-law plays, his father-in-law plays, maybe not so much anymore. But I think, you know, I think he loves to show off for his daughters. I think that's a part of this. I think, you know, they didn't see him, you know, they were too young to remember what he did, you know, 15 years ago, on the tour, when he made his comeback, they were young girls, but now he gets to show off for them and show exactly how good he is. And I think he really enjoys, you know, playing with his family. They play a lot of golf together. And I think that's kept him sharp too, Rob. I think, you know, if his daughters didn't play, I asked him, if his daughter didn't play golf, would he be playing as much? And he said, I might be playing as much, but I might not be as sharp because they keep sharp. When I go home, I play golf. I play golf with them. And I think that's a big hope. This whole part of the, that's a big part of the, that's a big ingredient and a part of the formula to why he's playing so
well. And we saw that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, because especially on Monday, wasn't sure if we'd see Bobby Stricker in the field at the Women's State Open because of what had happened on Sunday. And, you know, I think really the necessity to stop and celebrate what her dad did. She said she was in bed by 11, but the party continued on without her. And, by the middle of that first round, Steve, Nikki, and, Izzy were out there watching, Bobby play in the state women's open. And then subsequently, as Bobby got in contention, stayed in contention, they came back out. And then on Wednesday, Steve, it was the second hole. We were walking up the hill there at Blackhawk Country Club, and Bobby's motioning over with her hands together in prayer, asking if he'll come over and push the cart. And that led to, I think it was at that point, then well, about 20 more holes of golf or 22 more holes of golf. And with the playoff, with Tess Hackworthy, but, you know, I tell you what, I don't think there was anyone more proud about, his daughter, in a golf tournament than Steve Stricker with Bobby and the way that that women's open unfolded. We can kind of segue into that, but we'll still talk more about the AmFam in a minute. And you know, it was really perhaps a breakthrough state women's open. You had the three women that have played the most golf here in 2023 out on the Epson Tour and the women's APT Tour, in contention with, Tatum Beck, Tess Hackworthy and Bobby Stricker. And they were, I mean, it was some of the best golf I've seen in a women's tournament ever in the state of Wisconsin. And I think for Steve to witness that, for Steve to see some of the shots that his daughter pulled off really had to be a full circle moment. And, even though Bobby didn't win playoff loss for the second year in a row, it was some good stuff. And you and I know that nobody appreciates good golf more than Steve Stricker.
Yeah, I'm sure he was, I'm sure he was just in his element there watching his dog play. And Blackhawk can be a very tricky course. And this, you know, I didn't see any of the golf. Rob, I was in Los Angeles, but I followed your stuff. And, it looks, just from the scores and from the way you described what went on, it looks like they played exceptional golf.
Yeah. I mean, it's a course that for the women's state open, they could tip out at 6,200 yards. That's as far back as you can put the tees. And so it's a different, you know, kind of golf than, say, when we covered the state match play there a couple years ago. And you've got the big bombers at the men's state match play. And, you've got guys trying to drive 1 in 10. It was very much for these young women a test of shot making, a test of creativity, a test of adjusting on the fly. Because with the trees being what they are, the tightness of some of the holes, the elevation changes, you really had to be in control of your game. But the tournament was won or lost on the greens. They were rolling. They looked as fast as I've ever seen greens in a tournament of that nature. I didn't ask Chad Grimm, the superintendent, what they were rolling, but it had to be at least a 13. And, in the southern part of the state, you're able to do that. It was a different story a little bit at Lake Arrowhead and parts north of Portage where, you know, the conditions haven't allowed greens superintendents to really even verticut the greens yet, because of the wacky weather that we've had so far in the golf season. But, it was amazing to see. And Tess Hackworthy even, commented to Bobby as they were walking, early in that final round about how nice the greens were, how nice it was to putt on greens that they're used to out on the, you know, Epson Tour and other places where conditions are like that. So, It was a really, really good test of golf. And, again, the cream rose to the top with the touring professionals, you know, being able to, be the three names at the top of the leaderboard. So, but it looked as though, Steve and Bobby worked well together and it looked as though Bobby's ready to take that next step. And I can't wait to see what this does for the, and Tess Hackworthy winning for the fifth time is something we should talk about too, Gary. I mean, that's historic. This tournament hasn't been around a long time, but nobody's dominated the way Tess has. And I don't know if she's ever played in a state women's open where she hasn't won it. And, she took 3 or 4 years off from this when she was a regular on the Epson Tour, previously the Symetra Tour. And, this year, has conditional status, is only now starting to get into tournaments. And because there was a break in the schedule, they could all come back and play. Although Emily Lauterbach did not come back to defend her title. She's just kind of getting going out there. But 5-time champion, you've got Bobby Stricker in the mix and then Tatum Beck, who's improved light years. It's just the game of golf on the women's side continues to grow and grow. And, we saw a lot of kids of all ages, women of all ages, high school kids, college kids, and veteran amateurs, in the field. So it was a big week, and Tess Hackworthy with 5 in a row, that's historic stuff.
Rob, are you saying she might be 5 for 5?
I think she might be 5 for 5. I don't remember her actually being in the tournament before that. I'd have to go back and look. She. you know, it was about the time she was late in, well, no, she was midway through her UW career before, you know, she started playing in it and, you know, came in and, you know, won it one year, came back the next. It was almost like the weeks meshed with the height of her golf game. And I think we all feel that. I mean, I went out and played last night for the first time in 3 weeks, and it's not that, you know, this isn't the time of year where I like to play golf because I don't play a lot, but she's been playing a lot. And, you know, you think about it, the state women's open for the college golfers. So this started, you know, her first four victories were as an amateur. This is her first pro win. They all come at the end of the spring season for college golf. So they're primed and ready to go. And she's taken advantage of that. You know, she's won on different courses. I remember about John at Janesville Country Club was 1 year. And so, yeah, it sets up well for the college kids.
What do you think this means for Tess going forward on the Epson Tour? Because I think she has probably conditional status right now. And you look at the results and, you know, I would expect a little more from her.
Yeah.
So, you know, this has to be a big confidence boost for her for the rest of the season on that tour, I would think.
Immensely. Because, Gary, in the final round, Bobby and Tess combined to make 9 birdies and just 2 bogeys until Bobby three-putted the 18th hole of regulation in those first 18 holes. And Tess and Emily Lauterbach both made the cut last week in the Epson Tour event over in, I think it was Battle Creek, Michigan. Bobby Stricker didn't play last. No, she was in there too, wasn't she? Because she wasn't at, no, she took the week off to caddy for Fred Couples. So, but she is,
right.
She's made, you know, I think 2 or 3 cuts in a row. So their games are starting to become comfortable out there. And I think the one thing that both of them said was they both learned how to execute in uncomfortable situations, but they did it in a friendly environment with, you know, family, friends, other competitors watching in that, especially in the 4-hole playoff. That was a pretty good throwback playoff, Gary, to the days when, you know, we'd cover state AMs for the men at Milwaukee Country Club or you know, Westmore or Blue Mound. And, you'd get the members out to follow along to see how these, you know, really good golfers play the course. And that was the way it was on Wednesday. And I think it's going to settle, you know, everybody down. And one of the things Bobby said to Tatum Beck before she left, because she's going back out for 2 weeks on the women's APT tour down in Texas, Bobby told her to go win one so she can get a battlefield promotion into the Epson Tour, because the APT feeds into the Epson, the Epson feeds into the LPGA. And they're all pulling for each other, and they all travel, you know, at times together on the road. They all play practice rounds together. And so I think, to answer your question, Gary, I think this is going to go a long, long way, because they were used – they found a way to make birdies under the gun, in the heat of competition. And that, as you know, with, you know, whether it's the men or the women on the developmental tours, that's the biggest thing. Make the birdies – avoid the bogeys and see what it adds up to at the end of the day. So can't wait to see the next ones up in a place that you've been up in the UP. I think Sage Run has got the next event next week on the Epson Tour. So we'll find out soon enough, and it'll be in relatively familiar territory. It sounds like at least Bobby and Tess are sharing an Airbnb up there in the UP for this one. And it's kind of back to work for these young ladies, and we'll see what this does for them.
Yeah, this is great to see, Rob, because there has been a little bit of a lull on the professional side regarding women's golf from our state and golfers from our state. You know, a little bit of a lull since Sherry Steinhauer and Martha Nauzi and names like that from the past were on the LPGA Tour. Now we've got some players coming up who really could make it to that tour again, and it's an exciting time.
And it's funny you bring that up, because I think one thing that you shared in the sweet spot again, we might have a comeback of Sherry Steinhauer here. She's in the senior PGA championship coming up, in about a week. And I continue to hear Sherry Steinhauer's stories about where she's playing golf. The most recent was at Blackhawk Country Club over the weekend, where she and one of her contemporaries, Chris Regenberg, played with Chris's brother, Dick. So clearly there's a motivation for Sherry to be playing more golf. And then I also looked up the exemption categories for the U.S. Senior Women's Open, and her name is on the exemption categories. We haven't seen whether she's actually entered the tournament or not. And, but I know it's one that she talked about when I spoke with her back in February down in Arizona. And, so that's cool. And in fact, I've also heard that that pickleball may be a thing of the past for Sherry Steinhauer. She's gone back to golf. So we're one
inch. No way.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, next time we talk to her, I think we'll probably do a check in with her to find out what all this stuff is doing here. But it's exciting and I can't wait to see. Someone did say that they saw her swinging a club and said that, she apparently shot like one over at Blackhawk. So she's clearly, playing, you never lose it when you're a professional golfer, apparently. It's like riding a bike. I don't play for 2 weeks and I take my first swing and it's like I'm a junior golfer all over again. So it's hard to fathom, but I can't wait to see what Sherry does. All right, looks like we had a little technical difficulties there. So anyway, Steve Stricker, a winner at AmFam, daughter Bobby loses in the playoff, Tess Hackworthy, a five-time champion. Before we wrap up our talk on the AmFam Championship, Jerry Kelly didn't play poorly, but didn't play up to his expectations. But I know that and he was actually borderline surly again. I think our friend Mike Jocks from Channel 15 in Madison asked him a question on I think it was on Sunday, and Jerry kind of looked at him and goes, Jocko, and it's just like, don't test me. And, he's not far off either. And again, we're 2 weeks removed. Steve and Jerry are taking a little time off before the U.S. Senior Open, which is good. And, we'll get to see everybody again up in Stevens Point. To put a bow on our senior tour talk and our AmFam talk, I'm not sure, like you said, Gary, that you can pick anyone other than Steve Stricker to be the favorite heading into Century World.
Yeah, I talked to Mark Rolfing, who was up there doing some TV advanced scouting work, and he thinks Century World's tailor-made Steve's game, and he picked Steve as the winner. So little pressure on Steve, but there was in Madison, too, to finally win his own tournament, and now he goes up to Century World where he won a state high school championship back in, 1984, maybe?
Correct, yep.
Course is very different now than it was back then. It's undergone a couple of renovations, but Steve will be the favorite. And you're right, Padraig Harrington could be one who really challenges for that title. And then, Stephen Ames and Stephen Elker have been in the mix a lot this year. So I think, there's maybe four or five players on that tour who have sort of separated themselves from the rest. And it'd be interesting to see if those three or four or five guys rise to the top, or if we get a surprise, who comes along and plays great that week.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to there. And as we were talking, Gary, I kept thinking there's something I was meant to ask Steve, because we hung out a lot together Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday over at Blackhawk. And what I wanted to ask him is if he's going to be in the John Deere Classic. That's what everyone's asking, because the way he's playing, I think a course like TPC Deer Run and his history in that tournament, it could be something pretty special. I know he's got no, aspirations to go overseas to a major either tour. At this point, but it would be fun to see what he can do again on the regular tour against some of these, the changing face of the PGA Tour, because it seems every week we've got a new kid in, Sam Bennett at the Masters, Sam Bennett now at the U.S. Open, and we also have comeback stories, and we'll talk about that in a second with the U.S. Open. Wanted to get to one other tournament thing, and that was yesterday at Lake Arrowhead. Ty Kretz of Marinette knocked off Scott Erickson of Sparta, 41-year-old Scott Erickson, by the way, went through the young kids, had his son Austin on the bag, who just wrapped up a two-year career at Iowa Central Community College. I asked Austin what's up next for him, and he's going to be heading out my way to Phoenix, Gary, and pursuing a career in golf. He didn't quite elaborate as to I'm assuming it's going to be in a playing variety, but he's going to be hanging around other guys who are in that same boat, and he enjoyed his time at Iowa Central. But he's ready to go play golf for a living or be in the golf industry for a living. So, but Ty Kretz, that's his first ever, Gary, junior or amateur multi-day tournament victory in the state match play. He never won the WPGA Junior, never won the state high school championship. One of his years got taken away by COVID. He's always been in the mix. I think he finished T6 last year at Sand Valley in the state amateur. So he's always been there, just hasn't finished it off. And yesterday, Saw some great golf between him and Jack Anderson in a 20-hole marathon in the morning, and then Ty continued to play well, bogey-free in the afternoon, made, I think it was three birdies, so to close out Scott Erickson. Add Ty Crest to the list of golfers we're going to have to look for at the State Am and the State Open.
That's a stunner to me, Rob, that he hasn't won a multi-day tournament in our state. That's because I've seen him play, and he is he's an exceptional player. And that surprised me that he hasn't won something along the way, but now he can hang his hat on this one, and it's a big one.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Gary, because I'm writing in the clubhouse at Lake Arrowhead, and Ty and his dad, Pete, who was on the bag, taking off for home. And I had to text him because I'm looking at the WPGA record, and, they put number one for first place in black, in bold. And, it was all 1 day things. And, and I looked at the WSGA version of that. And, he obviously was a co-medalist at the U.S. Open local qualifying a year ago. Was that Wild Rock, I think. And, nothing, no victories, no top fives and top tens at the, WSGA Junior, the Junior Boys Championship, but nothing. And I text him, is, am I reading this right? And he goes, sadly, comma, yes, you are. And so
that's funny.
But yeah, so he's, he did win a 2 day event, with, I think it was 65, 66, but it was in college this year, but it was a dual meet with Matt Schmidtke's University of South Dakota team. So it was Ty at South Dakota State and against Max's team at South Dakota, and but a 2 day event, but that's it. And so this was a big breakthrough for Ty Kretz. And as you said, Gary, between the Ray Fisher coming up, Ty will not be in that, but he'll be at the State Am. And then presumably the State Open, he will be at the State Open. This gets him an exemption into that. And so we'll see a lot of Ty here coming up. Wanted to segue, though, to the U.S. Open. And Gary, just back on the red eye from Los Angeles, business meetings with the Golf Writers Association, but a couple of cool stories talking to Brooks Koepka about the week and coming off his Masters win. And that Masters PGA, and then Johnny Miller, fascinating story. We haven't heard much, if anything, from Johnny Miller. We seldom heard much of anything from Johnny Miller, even when he was on TV, except for TV. But you got to be there with for that audience. What's your takeaway from your time out at LA Country Club, Gary?
Yeah, it would have been nice to have stayed for the whole week, but if we had a Wisconsin player or two in the field, I probably would have, but tried not to spend too much of John Hughes' money, our boss, because that media hotel was really expensive. It was next, right close to Beverly Hills, Rob, and you can imagine what the prices were there.
Wow.
It was a productive couple days. I had to run a GWAA board meeting on Monday, which is why I had to leave Sunday and leave you to do all the heavy lifting with the AmFam. And then as long as I was out there for a couple of days, I felt compelled to work. So I did the story on Brooks, who surprised me a little bit. He had a slow start in the first round of the U.S. Open. I think he shot one over while everyone else was sort of running away on deep under par. And then Johnny Miller was fun, just listening to him spin stories about his 63, 50 years ago. That was a fun interview.
Well, and a timely one because of what happened in round one. We're taping this on Friday of U.S. Open / Father's Day weekend. And Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele with a pair of 62s. And you texted me yesterday, Gary, that if this would be any other course besides L.A. Country Club, we'd be hearing the same, squawking that we heard at Erin Hills. And to a degree, we are. But and I don't know if you got a chance to see – live from, on Thursday night, but, they Brandel and Paul McGinley, really asked some pretty good pointed questions of John Bodenhammer, about the setup and the low scores. And, I think Paul McGinley asked him if we get to Sunday and the winning score is 20 under par, are you going to be upset? I thought that was a good question. So, I mean, it's still the U.S. Open, and we still have, as we record this, three rounds to go. But, you were there for for another U.S. Open lead-in where, that's usually what everybody's trying to find out. How is this course going to play? And I had that question asked of me. I hadn't been paying much attention, but, you know, it's a traditional country club in L.A. I'm sure the property is limited in terms of how far you can stretch the course. And so the defense is bunkers, grass, rough, and greens. And right now with the marine layer, what it is, the June gloom out there, it you know, at least in the morning, it can be pretty soft.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the talk going into the championship was, well, first of all, you're right. We don't know how this, we didn't have no idea how this course was going to play because it has never hosted a U.S. Open. Very, very private club, Rob. I was going over the membership rules, and you cannot wear shorts anywhere on that property and play golf there. You have to wear long pants. And there's a million rules like that. It's very, very, very private and exclusive, but we didn't know anything about it. But, you know, Max Homa shot a 61 there when he was in college. And, yeah. You know, I know the course played different, you know, obviously for the U.S. Open than it did when Max played it. But I thought that was a red flag, that if someone can shoot a 61 at that place in college, that some of these guys might shoot some low numbers. But all the talk going into the U.S. Open was how tough it was going to be, how the rough was impossible. You know, the fairways are tilted and balls run into the middle of the fairway, run into the rough. And the surrounds are tough and the bunkering's tough. All you heard was, you know, sort of like the talk before Erin Hills in 2017 when people were afraid that, you know, scores were going to be way over par and opposite turned out to be true. But the scoring here, in the first round anyway, was just incredibly low. I guess 37 maybe guys broke par, which is an all-time record for one round of a U.S. Open.
Yeah.
By 10, too. So, really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how the USJ sets up the course over the next couple of days and where they hide the hole locations.
Well, it's funny to hear you say that because what you just described sounds like people's comments about number 17 at Blackhawk. Someone described it as being the most pristine fairway in all of Wisconsin because balls never end up there. They always roll out in the rough. So you almost seldom have a ball hit from the fairway on number 17 at Blackhawk because just like at LA Country Club, it's a tilted fairway, as are many in the back nine at Blackhawk. The common denominator between courses built in that era, no matter where you are in the country, Gary, is that they use the lay of the land and they didn't bring in bulldozers to flatten things out. And I think that's what makes this a marvelous test of golf. And I can't wait to see, like you, what it holds during the weekend. Someone asked me who's going to win this week at the start of the tournament. I said Scottie Scheffler, and I'll stand by that. Would love to see Ricky Fowler, you know, win a major. But, you know, at the same time, you know, given his record in recent years, he's going to have to win one before we make him, you know, the guy we pick. But any thoughts on who you expect to see there at the end of the week on top of the leaderboard?
Well, a couple of names stand out to me, Rob. You know, originally I would have picked Brooks Koepka, but now he's got some heavy lifting to do just to get into contention. But Dustin Johnson, there's a guy I think, you know, he's a threat. When he gets it going, he's a threat to win on any kind of course, anywhere, at any time. And he certainly played a great first round with a 64. And then Xander Schauffele has yet to win a major. But I think he's got five consecutive top 20 finishes in the U.S. Open, and he's due to break through and win one of these times. So I'd go between those two guys right now. Ask me tomorrow, and it might be a different story.
That's right. Well, that's what makes it fun, and that's why it couldn't be any better to have the U.S. Open on Father's Day weekend. If I weren't camping this weekend, Gary, I'd be in front of a TV with my feet up for the whole weekend watching this stuff. If I could find it, that's another topic for another day. One more thing before we wrap up Talking.Golf for this week. I was at Lake Arrowhead yesterday. There was talk in the clubhouse that, you know, there were some Gary D'Amato sightings recently. And then after two trips around Lake Arrowhead, I went back out for a third on my own and got to play the Pines course for the first time in a long time. First of all, the new clubhouse at Lake Arrowhead is amazing. I just could not believe
it is.
Done with the clubhouse there. Jim Kelch and I had lunch between rounds yesterday, and I wholeheartedly recommend the turkey cucumber wrap. It was outstanding. But, yeah, it was good. And but then, tell you, one of the things that I dearly miss about not living in Wisconsin anymore, is the ability in the middle of June to play golf until about 9:30 p.m. And that's what I did yesterday. I played with a couple caddies from Sand Valley. Shout out to Foley and Spider-Man. If you guys are up at Sand Valley playing this summer, ask for Foley and Spider-Man. They know their stuff, man. And they were a couple of good characters. They bailed at the turn and went up on the deck to listen to some live music and have a few beverages. And then I played the back nine behind some groups. And then Ethan Schmitz, one of the head pro under Daryl Sorbo, and Joel Barth at Lake Arrowhead was out there. He's a stout grad like my daughter. And we played the final few holes together. And, I mean, it was pitch dark. The sprinklers were on. It was perfect, Gary. I just I love the Pines course. But, you know, he was mentioning that, you know, that they didn't have the green speeds quite what they, you know, were. But you think about the weather we've had, you know, late spring with, you know, all the snow and the you know, up and down temperatures. And then we get out of that, and then you had a heat wave with humidity, and they, you know, there's only so much you can do with grass on greens that you're trying to cut low without losing them. And so, you know, that was the only thing that might have been not quite to mid-season form, but otherwise, boy, what a treat that course was. And I think you played both of them, didn't you, Lakes and the Pines?
No, we just played the Pines twice,
and that's actually
the last time I touched. Yeah, it's the last time I touched my clubs, Rob, was Memorial Day weekend, was that Saturday. So I got to get out and play and start catching up to you. Although you haven't played much either, I know. You've been busy.
No, I played at the start of the trip up north and then 12 days without, and it felt like 12 years. And so I shook some rust off last night. And as soon as we're done here, I'm heading over to Toma, pick my wife up from she flew into Minneapolis on Friday here. And she's bussing it down there and I'll meet her there, but I'm going to play Hiawatha Golf Course, another one that I haven't played. And, I vow that once I get a few minutes here, I'm going to pull out our Wisconsin.golf yearbook and start, crossing off, in our directory, the courses I've played so I can have a working number. And, I think it's our goal to try to get to all of them because boy, there's so many great courses here, but I tell you, it was a nice trip down memory lane yesterday. At Lake Arrowhead, I think, Daryl or Ethan said that, 2,200 members up at Lake Arrowhead, you know, in the homeowners association up there, and they continue to build houses. But what a popular area, you know, with Sand Valley. And of course, the buzz, you know, hearing a lot of people, I know you're going to go play the Lido soon. And then, there's going to be a soft opening this fall for Sage Run. And that's going to be, another, you know, gem here. And, it just doesn't slow down in central Wisconsin. I'm not sure how you know busy these other courses are, Gary, but it's wall to wall up here in the heart of central Wisconsin.
Well, I'll be anxious to know your number, Rob, because I just pulled out my book and I have played 187 Wisconsin courses. That sounds like a lot, and it is, but that leaves me with about 300 to go. So
I know
there's a lot of golf to be played in the state.
Isn't that just the killer? I mean, I'll count. I think I might have you in some of the nine hole courses in the Madison area. Cause when I used to review courses at the State Journal, I did Spring Green Municipal and, I think at that time it was the American Legion course up in Plain and, two little nine holers that, you know, for the people of the towns and, had a fun time there. But, you know, so I have hit some relatively unknowns, but there's a lot to go. So I tell you what, let's sign off now. You get some rest so you can get back on the golf course and I'm going to head over to Hiawatha and we'll compare notes again next week.
That sounds good, Rob. And I guess I won't see you until Wednesday of the Senior Open. Is that when we'll cross paths again?
That is correct. Yes. Yes. So I'll be at the Junior PGA on Wednesday and Thursday and then, up to Minnesota for some golf and then back, and a tournament with my daughter and then back for the Wednesday, and then beyond for the, senior, open at, Century World in Stevens Point. So that will be it, Gary. So you get some golf in and some rest and we'll talk again on talking.golf next week.
All right. Great, Rob. Thanks.
Talking.golf presented by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2024 AmFam Championship will be played June 7th through the 9th. At University Ridge Golf Course in Madison with Steve Stricker, the tournament host, as your defending champion. Look for details in the coming months about the Friday Night Concert Series, the Celebrity Foursome, and more. Those details will be shared at AmFamChampionship.com, which is also where you can purchase tickets for the 2024 AmFam Championship in its final year at University Ridge before moving to the 2025 to the TPC Wisconsin. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million and counting for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.